This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch.
With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination.
And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Hey guys, sports betting season is in full force. NHL and NBA playoffs, we enjoyed those, and now football season is here. You need a sportsbook with integrity and longevity like BetUS. You may already know this, but BetUS has been pioneers in the sportsbook industry for almost three decades, thriving and paying their loyal customer base. That is BetUS.com, and they have loads of bonuses. Join now or call 800-69-BETUS. That is 800-MY-BETUS. US, you can receive a 125% sign-up bonus by using the bonus code SST125. That's SST125. They have re-up and referral bonuses also. BetUS is known as America's favorite sports book for a lot of reasons. No matter what the season, BetUS has all the games, NBA, NHL, team, player props, loads of NFL and college plays, whether futures or individual game odds. You can bet UFC matches and props, PGA golf, and round matchups and live betting on most sports, including golf. The online casino has hundreds of games, and the racebook has all your horse tracks. They have every bet type imaginable, and the Sharp BetUS mobile platform is easy with full betting options. Follow my lead and partner with a sports betting company with integrity and longevity like I did. BetUS. You bet, you win, you get paid. BetUS.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
A path to competing for almost any program has lost virtually all value. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Friday, and I am back. Appreciate my good friend Drew DeArmond sitting in yesterday. That went well, I'm assuming. Again, measuring stick. No lost affiliates. No FCC violations. Okay, that's fantastic. Well, I am back today, and it's a football Friday. We will bounce around ACC, SEC, also national. Coming up, my gosh, really in about 10 minutes or so. Roddy Jones, ACC Network. Was he on the call last night? Marshall and Appy, I believe. And I believe he and Matt Barry, maybe. We'll have Roddy Jones coming up. Kevin Noom, bottom of the hour, talking a little Buckeyes. Tim O'Malley in hour two. Our good friend from Irish Illustrated talking Notre Dame. And, of course, Zach Abelverde talking Gators football, bottom of next hour. So it's ACC, SEC, and as I said, national. A path to competing truly for every program in America at whatever level you are lost virtually all value. Redshirting a true freshman is almost pointless. And that was sort of the point I was making a couple of days back when I was in a farcical manner. And I used the Mississippi State schedule for next year as the example. They got beatable non-conference, beatable non-conference, beatable non-conference, LSU in September. I was like, nah, what you want to do is stack your schedule so you can play as swap East Tennessee State from November with LSU. Play as many of your freshmen, anybody with a red shirt remaining, make sure they play in their fifth game. In week five, make sure that happens. Well, you're burning their red shirt. That's the point. That is the point. Give yourself a better chance of having the next three seasons when maybe you actually want them versus not playing them at all and then somebody else getting four seasons with them, which is a unfolded explanation of why redshirting a true freshman is almost pointless. Now, there are exceptions. Playing a freshman quarterback who isn't actually ready can cause regression. You don't want to do that. It's bad for the kid. And if the kid's injured or otherwise not available anyway, I don't know, academics, whatever's going on with John Emery. Dan, what's going on with Emery?
Academics, yeah. Still. I mean,
did we ever figure out what it was? Because there were some just silly stories.
There's a lot of different stories out there, none of them to confirm, but still going the legal route, supposedly.
So, I would put John Emery as otherwise not available. I just don't know what it is, but kid ain't playing. Eric Gilbert, he's otherwise not available. So, there are exceptions, but otherwise, play them and do it early in the season. I want to make transferring, for any kid that I have any down-the-road plans for, make transferring as unattractive as possible. If you're still of the mindset, well, you'll burn a year of eligibility, you're thinking in the way, way, way past, like two seasons ago. The choice is not really redshirt him to get a fifth season, or don't redshirt and only get four. That ain't the choice anymore. It's play him now to make it more likely I get just next season from him. Because there's a chance I play him and he stays in the program for one more year, and he takes off. I'm just trying to hedge bets here, folks. Get an 18-year-old in campus, and he's not quite ready, but he's ready enough against these September opponents. Because I really do want – there's a reason we gave him a scholarship. I want him here. It's just depth chart roster strategy now. We've all heard the story about Jim Grobe's magical 2002 class, right? Jim Grobe had been hired to replace Jim Caldwell, who I thought was a pretty good coach at Wake Forest, but the record just didn't show it. So Caldwell, he gets exited the property. And Wake brings Jim Grobe down from Wake Forest, and he takes over. I think Caldwell's last season was either 2 wins or 3 wins. It was not good. So Jim Grobe, who had been having success with the Bobcats, he comes down from Ohio. He's got some motion and misdirection, triple option, you know, whatever. Not three back a lot of times, but some triple option. His second class, he has an epiphany. He's like, got to redshirt everybody. If there's any possibility, I'm going to redshirt everybody. Now, it was Wake, and there was imbalance, like what happens a lot when a coach shows up and a bunch of kids want to transfer, whatever. So he was dealing with what every coach has to. So in 2002, Jim Grobe signed 20 kids. 5 seasons later, Wake won its first ACC title in 36 seasons. And as it turns out, only football conference championship in the past 50 years. 84 scholarship players, there were 53 redshirts on the team, including 13 redshirt seniors. Upon arrival of the freshmen, here's what needs to happen going forward. Welcome to campus. None of you are going to play, if at all possible. You'll just work out and train and watch the other players actually play. No. No, we're not saying that anymore. That's what Jim Grobe said in 2002. None of y'all are going to play. You're just going to do the unfun stuff, and you'll get to play later. Now, I know every team in college football is redshirting players right now. I know it. But let's leap down the road just a few seasons. May 2025. The player who just signed this February and has just started practicing last month, and I'll use my extremes that we have established, he signed and has just showed up on campus a month ago at either Western Kentucky or Ohio State. Knowing what you do about today's freshman kid, the recruit, the football star, you tell me you see that kid still in C-Bus or Bowling Green for his fifth season. Tell me that. In today's environment, player movement, empowerment, build my brand, etc. Folks, none of that stuff goes backwards, I promise. A player shows up at 18. He's not waiting for the coaching staff or the players ahead of him on the two deep. He's out. So your coaching staff needs to be strategic as well. Redshirting was always the path that if you chose and you were patient and disciplined, you would have a chance down the road. There is no more down the road. That kid ain't gonna redshirt him. My question, for who?
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Continuing on a Friday, it is the Chuck Oliver Show, and I was just laughing. Dan was telling me our next guest said, hey, he's driving to Blacksburg, so cell reception. I was laughing. I made that drive before. It is a whole lot of two-lane, and what you see more than anything are log trucks and state troopers. And I'm telling you, there are municipalities all throughout that drive, North Carolina, especially in Virginia. North Carolina is the scam. Do you know what the scam is? You have to be represented by an attorney. Like, you can't just, like, mail it in North Carolina, is my understanding. And so I stay in Bluefield, West Virginia, actually. Don't even stay in Blacksburg. Fantastic place to be on a game day weekend, and I believe that's where our next guest is. I want to welcome on right now from the ACC Network, Roddy Jones. Brother, how you doing today? Tell me that it's the reception. Tell me it's exactly what I was talking about. We got it? Okay. Yeah, so it is Roddy, and Richmond and Virginia Tech, they're going at it tomorrow, high noon in Blacksburg, and it's an opportunity for Virginia Tech to get its offense back on track and from the get-go. A little bit of a comeback last week that obviously fell short and not able to get it done at the end of the ball game, but Virginia Tech again back out on the field. Do we have Roddy ready? All right, still trying to get Roddy ready, so... again, throughout the ACC tomorrow, Wake Forest is also in the Commonwealth playing Virginia tomorrow. Mike Morgan, our good buddy, is on that call as well. As we, again, look at the ACC schedule, I don't want to say it's a bye week for a lot of the teams, but it is the non-conference week that most of the teams did correctly. When I say it's the non-conference week, like Virginia Tech, that's non-conference. They got Richmond. Richmond's it's a fine program, and Richmond has left Welps. It's sort of like the getting to up the far northern south United States. They're sort of the Southern Miss up there, history wise. But that's Virginia Tech's version of that. Syracuse is also hosting Liberty. Again, they didn't do that correctly. It was supposed to be a week where you're not an off week, but maybe a homecoming week or maybe a ramp-up week before you get back into conference. They didn't do it correctly. Liberty's going to win that ball game. I would be really surprised if they didn't. Who did it correctly? Miami did it correctly. Pitt did it correctly. I shouldn't be saying this because Duke's playing a Power 5 program, but Duke did it correctly by scheduling Kansas. I'm going to tell you one thing about Florida State, though. And last week when they had the opportunity to, for one of the three ways that you can motivate an elite athlete, only three, Florida State had that one staring right at them. The three ways are either money, and that's really for a pro athlete, now for a college athlete, name, image, likeness, playing time, which playing time equals money, or you get embarrassed. And so I looked at Florida State, and I was like, every single one of those kids is used to being better than they are right now. Every single one of those kids on the Florida State roster is used to winning. every one of those kids is used to, on a Friday night, it going his way. And some of them, depending on where you're transferred from, you count on it going your way on a Saturday. Didn't go that way against Jacksonville State 2 weeks ago. And I said, well, I know who the kids are. I know their histories, whether it's in high school and then Tallahassee, or it's high school and then Columbia, South Carolina, or high school and then Starkville, or high school and Athens, Georgia. I know these kids. And every kid who winds up on scholarship at Florida State, you at least have a reasonable expectation that you will have a Sunday look, if not be drafted, if not make a roster, if not Cam Akers and be getting weekly game checks even after you get hurt. Every kid at Florida State should have that expectation. So I said, this is that third category. Absolutely is. They just got embarrassed. There are only three, and the first two are basically the same. Big problem for Florida State. That was their response last Saturday. That was their gird up your loins stage. That was their look around the locker room. And you know, I promise you, what someone said, either on the field, in the most extreme cases, huddle up, and you don't even go off the field. But you don't do that today because too many cell phone cameras, and then all of a sudden Gus gets caught saying he, you know, beat the dog crap out of Kirby, and then Kirby's like, oh, really? So you don't do any of that on the field. But time was, in the worst cases, you would draw everybody up without even leaving the field. You don't do that anymore. So I promise you, there's somebody, before they even got undressed in the locker room Saturday against Jack State, guys, this is not going to happen again. I did not come to, and then he kind of had to look around. Florida State, I did not come to Florida State, because he had to be reminded, this is my third school. That's right. So I did not come here to lose to Jacksonville State. So next Saturday, and then you laid it all out and you gave in the locker room or Sunday practice or Monday treatment or Tuesday before calisthenics, you gave that speech. Somebody gave the Tim Tebow speech, I promise. Somebody gave the Tim Tebow speech. The response, that was the response in Winston-Salem. They host Louisville, and we'll talk more about this on Monday just because. I'm not trying to be evasive, but there are some issues with Florida State that we may not know about until this game actually kicks off. When you're looking at the two deep and when you're looking at maybe some positional clustering of issues, Florida State may have an issue tomorrow. They may have a bigger issue than maybe any of us think about in advance, thinking, well, Louisville can run it up and Florida State's having issues. It may even go beyond that. So that is just the potential. You know, I talk threat level all the time. Clemson tomorrow, there are two teams actually. If you look in the ACC, two teams that did not do it correctly at all. One of them is Clemson, that's for sure. They're on the road with NC State. And then Boston College, the non-conference week, they're welcoming in a Missouri team with a quarterback who can figure it out. And, of course, BC's without their own. Dan, how you doing?
Oh, very well. And, you know, it's kind of go off of what you were just talking about in the first segment. It's even more with good players at lesser programs, or at least struggling programs right now. I think you're going to see more and more that college football coaches are going to have to approach this like Major League Baseball managers. What do the good players' managers do? They put their guys in the lineup, they keep their guys in the lineup, and they don't move them because they want to provide that consistency. I think you're going to have to see the same thing with college coaches. And then I think the other part of it as well is the NBA component of this all. What have we seen the league become? It has become who's friends with who wants to join up with who's going to be the one that's going to take less money, which in this case, you don't have to worry about that for now. But it is a where do I fit and how can I get to that point? You try to tell me that, say, for example, if things don't go the way that maybe Jahmyr Gibbs hopes that they go for the rest of this season at Georgia Tech, that he doesn't look at LSU and say, they look like they could use a guy like me on their roster. Why wouldn't I think of them? Or even a Jay Sean Corbin, the way things are going at Florida State. I see that Florida could probably use a guy like me. Why wouldn't I think about them? All of these different variables can come into play. And it's also, too, this is what we've created with everything that's happening now with the proposed scholarship increases, at least for this coming year, and the ability for you to be able to add said people on your rosters. Chuck, this offseason, if you think it's going to be silly season for coaches, it's going to be silly season for players as well.
Yeah, I know you're just giving examples. Jay Sean be covering kicks in Gainesville right now. As much depth as they got. In fact, I think I mentioned this on Monday, did I even see Bowman and Lingard take the field the other day?
I don't believe they did. I looked for the same thing.
Yeah, Naquan started getting some run, and when he popped a couple, he and Malik especially, that kind of became, and even Damian Pierce had one run. Oh yeah, absolutely. In fact, it's I told you, it's portal week. It's this week. In fact, there are going to be players who do play in their fourth game, and they're one step ahead of what I was saying, who are going to go ahead and announce, yeah, I'm out.
It's week four in college, week three in pro football. Let's get you ready to make some money. Hi, I'm Dan Matthews, and let's take a look at the odds brought to you by BetUS.com. Notre Dame and Wisconsin in Chicago. The Badgers giving 6.5 to the Irish. Wisconsin minus 240 on the money line. Notre Dame plus 200. Over under 46. Missouri is at Boston College. Whether they like it or not, Tigers are favored by 1.5. Over under is 58. North Carolina against Georgia Tech in Atlanta. Tar Heels favored by 12 and a hook. Heels are minus 500 on the money line. Jackets plus 400. Over-under is 63.5. LSU is at Mississippi State. Tigers favored by 2.5. They are minus 135 on the money line. The Bulldogs plus 115. Over-under is 56.5. Texas A&M and Arkansas in North Texas. Aggies favored by 5. They are minus 210 on the money line. Hogs plus 175. Over under is 47. Let's take a look at the NFL. The Saints are at the Patriots. 1 o'clock kick there in Foxborough. Patriots are favored by 3. Money line is minus 150 for New England. New Orleans is plus 130. Over under is 42. Bucks at the Rams out in LA. Tampa Bay favored by just a point. The over under is 55 and a hook. Monday night, the Cowboys hosting the Eagles. Dallas is a 4-point favorite. They are minus 190 on the money line. Philly plus 165. Over under is 52. Who wants to make some money? You can do it easily when you enter the following promo codes when you sign up at BetUS.com. How about SST125? With this promo code, you're getting 125% of a sign-up bonus. For example, you deposit $100, they're giving you an extra $125 extra. How about SST200? When you use cryptocurrency, that means 200% on a sign-up bonus for crypto deposits. For example, that crypto deposit is $100. You're getting an extra $200 to your account. America's favorite sportsbook for over 25 years. It is BetUS.com.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
College football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Continuing with the Chuck Oliver Show on a Friday, and tomorrow night in Seabus, Ohio Stadium, Akron plays Ohio State, and I've never been an Ohio State fan. I mean, I observe. I ain't with you. I ain't against you. But I've always appreciated that Ohio State will throw the in-state bone. They really will to the other programs there. And they even moved some of those games. They moved them to Cleveland and Cincinnati a few years, I believe. So, so good for them. They'll always do it. And this is no disrespect to Jason Taylor or – yeah, maybe just Jason Taylor. This is no disrespect to whomever has played at Akron in the past. The outcome of tomorrow night's game is not really the point of tomorrow night's game. It's to get any sort of further gauge on how good this Buckeyes team can be for the final, you know, whatever, nine games. Because so far, they have not overwhelmed me. I want to welcome on right now. Director of Multimedia Content and Assistant Editor, BuckeyeScoop.com. It's our good friend, Kevin Noone. Kevin, how are you on this Friday?
Hey, doing great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, appreciate your time. I think you'll agree with me. The actual outcome is not the question tomorrow night. It's bigger picture things about Ohio State. What do you think it's possible for us to learn and feel more comfortable about with the Buckeyes against Akron? Because they're bad. Yeah, they're really, really bad.
Really bad. I mean, they got beat by Auburn 60-10. They were beat by Temple with a third-string quarterback, yep, like 45-24. They were tied in the third quarter against FCS Bryant, 14-all, before running off 21 unanswered to have a little space there. It's hard. It's hard to sit there and go into this game and say that we're going to learn a ton. Ohio State opens as a 53-point favorite. It's hovering around 49. That's seven touchdowns for those, you know, non-math majors out there. They're going to have a different quarterback out there. C.J. Stroud is going to be resting his shoulder, so we're going to get a chance to see what's behind door number two. And while whether it's Kyle McCord, who I believe it's going to be, or Jack Miller, who I'm not quite sure it would be, it's not the same competition that Stroud faced at Minnesota or against Oregon or even against Tulsa, but it's an opportunity to see what somebody else looks like out there and, you know, kind of see – take a little evaluation at that point. And then on the other side of the ball, you know, Ohio State certainly has struggled getting a pass rush up front, certainly has struggled in terms of finding the right linebackers. I'd say really the only bright spot in terms of the Ohio State defense has been the cornerback play. And I think that if you would rewind this back a couple few weeks ago, that was probably the biggest question mark.
Continuing, again, Kevin Noone does a tremendous job covering Ohio State. Has for years. You can find him now at BuckeyeScoop.com. Let's talk quarterbacks a little bit. And if it were a little deeper down the schedule, if it was somebody else on the dance card, Penn State, for instance, Indiana, Nebraska, whomever, do you think Ohio State fans would be watching the same quarterback situation unfold? Or is it because this is Akron, it's Akron, and we can kind of use this Saturday to get healthy?
Yeah, I think they're going to the lab a little bit here to be able to try some things out. You certainly don't need to trot C.J. Stroud out there if he truly, you know, and I do believe, I mean, he has been dealing with a shoulder injury. There's no reason to believe there's anything nefarious going on here, yeah, that they're hiding anything. So, I think that the degree of difficulty would be up significantly if this were a trip to Bloomington or Penn State was coming to town. But, I think it's a good opportunity to just kind of see what's there, because let's remember, Ohio State coming into the season had three quarterbacks, and that's before the arrival of Quinn Ewers. So now four quarterbacks on the roster who had attempted a grand total of zero collegiate passes. And now through 3 weeks, Ohio State has one quarterback on its roster that's attempted a collegiate pass, because nobody else has been able to get in there because of the fact that Ohio State really hasn't been able to take care of business. And despite being 2-1, It was a one-possession game in the fourth quarter against Tulsa. I mean, obviously they lost against Oregon, and then Minnesota just didn't afford itself to be able to work your way through any depth. So, you know, I think that it's important for them to get into the lab, try some things out. I don't think it's going to be a situation of where we're either going to see all McCord or all Miller. I think we're going to see both of them, especially if the odds makers' predictions on this one hold true and this, you know, really is a seven-touchdown margin.
Kevin, I don't know your age, but my driver's license says 53. And so I was like, I don't know, four maybe when Archie Griffin was a freshman. But I have seen some tremendous Buckeye freshmen, specifically running backs, Eddie George, Keith Byers, Claret, whoever. Boy, this looks like the best of the bunch. Tell me what the expectations were for Travion Henderson, and tell me what this kid is viewed as now. Man, he looks like a monster.
Yeah, just so you don't feel old, I turned 50 here in a couple of weeks, so I'm only a couple of years behind you. But Travion Henderson, yeah, he sure looks special. Let's be real here. In that Tulsa game, I think you and I could have run through those holes. Granted, we would have never made it really into the second level, but the offensive line did a great job of opening up lanes for him. But, you know, this kid was, you know, depending on which service, a four-star, five-star running back. I mean, he really has all of the tools. I mean, he's got speed. He has some deceptive power. He's got, you know, he really has the potential of making a huge impact in terms of his Ohio State career. I think that it was important for Ohio State to really work its way down from rolling five running backs out there against Minnesota in week one. They seem to have found their guy in Travion Henderson. And let's remember, we can go back to 2014. Ohio State opened that season in Baltimore against Navy and played several running backs. Lost week two to Virginia Tech. Yeah. And by the end of that season, there was a guy named Ezekiel Elliott who emerged from that pack and had a tremendous season, including going 200 yards plus against Wisconsin, Alabama, and Oregon in the national championship game. Not predicting all those things to happen per se, but you know, there are some parallels.
You just heard it. Kevin guarantees it. National championship, Travion Henderson leads them. Wrapping up with Kevin Noone, let's be honest. I mean, we could talk offense all day, and there's a lot of right answers there that you're just going to figure them out. It's the defense that's the story. Is it the linebackers need time to settle? Is it we're just poor tacklers? Is it we're just overrated, and it's just about recruiting stars? Sort out the Buckeyes defense for me, because it's not what I was expecting.
No, it certainly isn't. I mean, you know, they lose Josh Proctor at free safety. They insist on running that single high safety, cover one, cover three type of defense. And, you know, I think they're still trying to find the right guy to put into that position. Bryson Shaw has been holding it down for now. I'm not sure if he's the right guy for that position. But my biggest concern, if I'm an Ohio State coach, is the lack of pass rush. Ohio State just can't get home. And I don't care how good your back seven is, if you're giving opposing quarterbacks all day to scan the field because you're not able to get to the quarterback, you're not able to collapse the pocket, you're not able to make him step up or, you know, just at least spook him a little bit, I don't care how good your back seven is. It's just not going to work. So Ohio State has got to figure out a way to get home with its rushing four or some blitzing. But to this point, it really hasn't been there. Ohio State, no sacks against Oregon. I think they had one tackle for loss. It was a little bit better against Tulsa, but Tulsa is not Oregon. I think they had two sacks and two TFLs there. They've got to get home more, whether or not it's changing some schemes or ultimately guys have to win one-on-one battles, and that's not been happening yet. And we talked to Larry Johnson, the defensive line coach, and he said, absolutely, we've got to do a better job there, but this all falls on me. Being the great coach that he is, he's, you know, taken it upon himself, but that whole room needs to look in the mirror and figure something out.
If there is going to be a kid that we look up, we're previewing the conference championship game, and there is an Ohio State kid that's got 9.5 sacks, which, by the way, I mean, I would have said Zach Harrison before the season, but who would you say, you know what, this is the kid that can really pop? Not a Bosa kid, but somebody who can kind of eat a little bit during the season.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm looking at the young guys. I'm looking at Jack Sawyer, who has to play on the weak side. I'm looking at JT Tuimoloau, who plays on the strong side. I mean, these young guys, you know, they came in as five stars. There's certainly, you know, a lot of room for them to grow into that type of position. You certainly would have hoped, if you're an Ohio State fan, that Zach Harrison would be the guy, maybe Tyreek Smith. I will give you a young guy who probably is not online for 9.5 sacks, but keep an eye on Tyleek Williams. He came in way overweight coming out of COVID. I mean, he was like a 280 guy in high school, came in the mid-340s or so. He's lost 25 pounds, got a big sack at the end of the Tulsa game. A lot of buzz about him right now. We normally don't talk up in interior defensive linemen, but I think he could be pretty good.
Kevin, it's very judgmental. I mean, who among us hasn't put on 60 pounds over a few months? Come on. Kevin, appreciate your time as always, brother. Thank you.
Absolutely.
All right. Again, Kevin Noone does a great job there, BuckeyeScoop.com. I would have guessed Harrison. And this was supposed to be his money season. Time to get paid! Reed, and that's not happening. It's, in fact, it's been competition that it should have kind of been there for you. You know, Anthony Brown taking over at Oregon, that's supposed to be. It's a new offense, and he's the new quarterback. He was there, but that was Shuck last year. It was supposed to be, and you're at home. Or Minnesota. Now, their offensive line and the way they try to get rid of the football and how they play, I don't know that you're necessarily going to rack up a bunch of sacks that night, but could have had more pressure. And Minnesota actually made some plays, and they were out their number one receiver that night. And then last week, same thing against Tulsa. Play bully ball. Just load up on, body up on them. And they haven't been able to do it. That's the one thing about Ohio State is that if it comes down to, I've talked about this at some point. I was mentioning this a few months ago. When I was growing up, I mean real little, and you can go find this on YouTube, wildly entertaining stuff. Back before there was free agency in most sports, there was a competition that would air winterish, like, you know, January, February, March, whatever. And they would tape it at various times throughout the year, depending on sports seasons. And it was called ABC Superstars. And they would take athletes from sports whose season wasn't in, and they would make them compete in track and bicycling and swimming and all kinds of things. And that's where you got to just see athletes, like a Major League Baseball player wearing shorts and a T-shirt and doing a pole vault. Nobody was making any money, and so they would do this thing and try to win like $10,000. That's the Ohio State roster. It's guys that would show up at ABC Superstars, and you would go, oh, my gosh, look at them. They're amazing. Now, I almost saw Joe Frazier drown one time in the swimming event. Now, if you want to know about how money has changed, Joe Frazier was the heavyweight champion of the world, and ABC said, we'll throw you 10 grand if you win. We'll throw you 10 grand. Joe Frazier's like, hell yeah. Found out later, he's like, oh, yeah, I never learned to swim, but I figure I could, you know, figure it out. In fact, I bet you can find it on YouTube. Joe Frazier drowns. And look at YouTube, Joe Frazier drowns. You'll see him on live television. We're about to lose him. So, but he was out there hustling for the cash, and it was always just they would get the best-looking, ripped-up athletes. That's the Ohio State roster. They're supposed to walk out of the tunnel, and Tulsa goes, God almighty. I don't want to play today. Window shopping, man. Just walking by going, oh. And you know what? That happened a little bit. And then you had to go out and actually make a tackle. A lot of that falls on linebackers, and a lot of diagnosis, a lot of alignment falls on linebackers. And I will say that it creates an issue when you lose all of your linebackers, especially guys, they were all upper class. They're all seniors, I believe. I think they're all seniors. And maybe three-year starters, Borland and Werner and that bunch. But it's Ohio State. It's the same as Alabama or Clemson or Georgia or LSU or Texas. Or you've got talented guys that come in right after them, supposed to. Nobody's tackling. And sometimes you're not even lining up right. And that's how against Minnesota, you got a fourth and one and a really, really good back bust one for about 60. And that's how it happened again the next week against Oregon. So there are some issues there, and it is not talent. And it ain't, you know, 6'6", 270, and I run in the high 4.5s, which that's a real thing, by the way, on that roster. That's not the issue. Oh, if I could just get a little bit better shape and be more physically able. It's alignment, playing proper technique, diagnosis, etc. And a lot of it is concentrated on defense, specifically with making tackles, which is the most basic thing in the world. It doesn't have to be get your head across, wrap up, and dump. It can be grab a thread on the jersey and wait for your partners to show up. Just do anything, because Ohio State can still win the national championship this year. They just got work to do. We're going to break, come back, wrap up Hour 1 next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
We're growing and figuring this team out and getting the right people in the right spots and a lot of coaching and teaching and again, a lot of new pieces. But it's going to come together. I don't have any doubt about that. You know, we've got good players and it's going to come together, and hopefully it's going to be this weekend.
Dabo Swinney, and he is talking Clemson football as they hit the road to Raleigh to play the NC State Wolfpack. There is a whole lot. I bet that clip wasn't 20 seconds. Not even 20, 15 seconds. So much to unpack in there. He says we're coming together, and it is slowly. One thing that is not coming together is the defense. It's there, brother. In fact, they ran out of the tunnel in Charlotte 3 weeks ago. Defense is there. They didn't give them up a touchdown, have they? Georgia had the pick six. The other Bulldogs, South Carolina State, the Georgia Bulldogs got a field goal. The South Carolina State Bulldogs got a field goal. Georgia Tech got two field goals. But in Clemson. And almost got a win. Almost got a win. I tell you all the time, and this is something that I learned only by observing, and then finally, I'll get there eventually. But the unintentional will always be the most revealing. And we talk about all to Clemson. Man, what a program. How they recruit. Just stack them class after class after class, and that is absolutely true. It was the final minute of a game where you had to run out the clock. You had to win this thing. And you have an 18-year-old true freshman playing his third game, standing 5 yards deep in the end zone. Now, at Clemson, there will be plenty of tremendous five-star freshmen. All right, so if you have a freshman in that role, it's likely that he's as capable as any in America. But you know what else is true? Because go back. What do we talk about? Class after class after class. That's true, then why is this particular 18-year-old five-star? Why is this 18-year-old true freshman? Why is this 18-year-old blue chip the one getting the ball 5 yards deep in the end zone? What about all the rest of them who have come before or in that same class? Will Shipley is already a really, really intriguing-looking player. He's talented, and he's already been productive, and he recovered the fumble. You had an 18-year-old true freshman taking the ball 5-6 yards deep in the end zone when all you need to do was get in the – I mean, my gosh, DJU was lined up in the end zone. It's been a strange approach. It has been. But the defense is not getting there. Defense has arrived. Now, they are at NC State, and it is – that's its own kind of different sort of program. Dave Doran comes down from Northern Illinois after absolutely has the season of all seasons. And I think the number now, and Doran has been at NC State 8 seasons, maybe. And they're talented, and they could win. They didn't win in Starkville. They absolutely could beat Clemson. As great as Clemson's defense is, they are so dysfunctional right now. Actually, let's go back. Unproductive and at times dysfunctional on offense, that you're going to be in the game just by the profile of what they are. You want to line up and play bully ball again like Georgia Tech. They went 3-man line last Saturday and Clemson couldn't get it done. Even if you were Clemson salty up front, you know the profile of a Dave Doran team. Start out on both lines of scrimmage and he's like, all right, well, those 11 spots are handled. Y'all figure out the rest, details. But these spots are taken care of. Here's a stat for you about Dave Doran at NC State. I believe he has one win his entire time at North Carolina State. I believe he has one win over a team that finished in the top 25. That was Liberty last year. I believe it was one win, I think. They don't really play folks outside of conference very much. He gets them to a 13th game, not in Charlotte, unless it's a bowl game, but they'll go bowling. And then I was discussing this with an industry colleague, and a vastly underused word came up. And I can't say who it is because he covers a different program. But I was quizzing him about, you know, from an outsider's view of the Wolfpack in that program. And the word murky was used. And the context was, and again, the whole setup is what they don't really play a very robust non-conference schedule. He does get them to a bowl game. And here is the interesting part. When his contract or his standing there, the situation overall gets, and that's where the word gets murky, a little murky, that's when he will load up and have a really good season so that he can say, hey, Tennessee, sup? And NC State's like, here's a new contract. I think that's a good job. And I think it's a job where you can get a whole lot more recruitable players admitted than maybe at some other in-state programs that want to compete with you. Wake Forest and Duke and North Carolina, admissions there, not very fun. And North Carolina's public. Still not fun. They got standards. Not saying you don't at NC State. I'm saying from the standpoint of someone who went to giant public state university and had a great football season, there ain't nothing wrong with being from giant public state university and you have a lot of fun during football season. Nothing wrong with that at all. That's NC State. That means it's more recruitable. That's a good job. And that is a great state, borderline great state for recruiting. He works it well enough, especially when it gets murky. But again, that's a good program, and they really should win more than they do.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.